Welcome to Ghost of a Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Lignato. I'm an astrologer, psychic medium, and animal communicator, and I'm going to give you your weekly horoscope and no bullshit mystical advice for living your very best life.
Welcome back to Ghost of a Podcast. This week's astrology is as important as last week's astrology, and last week we had an eclipse, right? So there is a lot to talk about, but I wanted to start this week's horoscope off with more talk about the eclipse because we went through a solar eclipse and it was a biggie, right? And now what? What are you supposed to do? So I want to just take a moment to say that now that the eclipses are over, it's not that whatever it is that happened during the eclipse is over, and it's not that necessarily anything is particularly happening to you personally. No, we're talking about world events, that's a different conversation. But talking about you personally, the thing to keep in mind about the eclipses is that they are lunar events, they're moon transits. And moon transits are always related to our emotional development. And that is inclusive of our spiritual development and our innermost psychology, like our innermost psyche. And so much of what occurs in general when we're talking about emotions, but also specifically in relation to the most recent eclipse, which was very Aries, is we're talking about how emotions live in the body, right? Like how we experience them in the body, how they rest in the body, how they demand our attention in the body, that kind of stuff. So I want to just acknowledge that we are going through a lot. We have been through a lot. And if you are doing the woo work of engaging consciously with eclipse energies, or if you want to make the most of the eclipses, then what you're doing is you're not overthinking it. You're not looking for answers. You're not looking for deep analysis and even clear affirmation. Instead, what you're doing is you're looking within. You're allowing yourself to experience what you experience and striving to find healthier ways of positioning yourself around that. Sometimes what that means is noticing that you're feeling something sad or bad and that you go into constriction mode or you're starting to disassociate or whatever. And instead of, kind of in a knee-jerk reaction way doing that, maybe this eclipse season is helping you to bring more awareness to your own habits and patterns around how you react emotionally so that you can be more intentional about how you want to respond to your emotions. Within this, and of course, contextually with everything I talk about on the podcast, you want to use your common sense. If you are neurodivergent, this may be different for you. If you are, if you have a serious trauma history, this may be different for you. You know, this general advice that I'm giving cannot apply to all the people all the time. And it may be a really good bit of advice for you in 6 months, but not you today, or you 10 years from now, but not 10 years ago, right? So you want to use common sense when applying any advice that you get from me in general, but also whenever we're getting generalized advice, we want to use common sense. I want to just kind of ground you into the use of common sense does not require you to abandon yourself emotionally. That's really important. I would say that they kind of are, kissing cousins. Like they're authentically related to each other, common sense and emotional presence, whatever that looks like for you at this given time. So I wanted to start off this week's horoscope, before we even get into the transits that are upcoming this week, by acknowledging the very big deal eclipse that we have lived through and how it is likely to be experienced now. This week, you've heard me and probably other astrologers talk about how the effects of an eclipse will take about 6 months to play out. And that's true. So what this means is however you experienced and reacted to, because the moon has so much to do with reaction and reflection, however you experienced and reacted to the eclipse energies on and around the eclipse, they will gestate within you. You will digest them for about 6 months. And what this is going to look like, it's not important. I mean, I know you want to know the answers. Most people turn to astrology because you're looking for answers. But I want to remind you now, and probably 7 million other times in the future, that the path is the answer. You know, it's not a destination. It's the path. The path is the answer. And, you know, this particular path is being present with your emotions, striving to become more emotionally self-aware, mature, accountable, healthy, what have you, right? Whatever your goals are for yourself. Now, in regards to world events, and that's something we'll talk about a little bit more in the context of another transit that's happening this week, but in the context of world events, the effects of eclipses take about 6 months to play out. And when we're talking about the moon in regards to world events, the moon governs nationalism, nationalistic pride, how individual nations dealt with the very aggressive, demanding, and motivated energies of the solar eclipse will take about 6 months to play out. And here in the United States, that puts us in a real shaky place because our identity as a nation is changing in really deep ways. I mean, we are still in the phase of the Pluto return of the United States. And so the concept of American pride, nationalism in general, our relationship to our borders, all of these things are changing. And they have been changing a long time. Now, the solar eclipse just pushed another level of transition and change into the group chat, as it were. So here we are. And in regards to, you know, collective conditions, whether we're talking about social issues or political issues, and of course, there's great overlap between these two things, how you choose to show up is a reflection on you. It is not a reflection on anything else. How you choose to show up, yeah, it is a reflection on you. So being as intentional as you can be, right, we're talking about Aries energies, about how you are participating in the world around you, that's you honoring the eclipse. That's you not just growing up, but growing into yourself. All right, so that said, my loves, let's talk about the astrology of April 14th through the 20th of 2024. I feel like it would be remiss of me to not acknowledge that this is episode 420, and it includes the date of 4/20/2024. What? I don't know. I don't know that it means anything. I just think it's, if you're a 420 person, you know, tip of the hat to you, sir. Welcome, and thank you very much for playing. Okay, so we're going to look at the astrology of this week, which ends with a really important transit. And I want to start off by reminding you that Mercury is retrograde until the 25th. So this is our last full week of Mercury retrograde. This Mercury retrograde has been asking you to know yourself, to get to know yourself better, to be able to better reflect on who the fuck you are, what you believe, and how you communicate that self-awareness. And it has been like a overwhelming, confusing Mercury retrograde as it was written. And then this week begins with the first exact transit happening on Monday, April 15th at 8:23 a.m. Pacific time. We have Mercury conjunct Chiron in exactitude, and it's happening at 19 degrees of Aries and 49 minutes. So let's talk about what it means. We're keeping in mind that Mercury is, of course, retrograde, and that the Mercury-Chiron conjunction was heavily featured in the solar eclipse chart. So we're dealing with, again, an extension of those solar eclipse energies. And, you know, the intensity of a Mercury retrograde on a psychological level is that we are being pushed to look within, to honor that rule of Rees by reflecting so that we may reassess, recalibrate, restructure as needed. And a lot of times this will happen during a Mercury retrograde by things going sideways, plans not working out, miscommunications occurring. Basically, like our plans get destabilized, our thinking gets interrupted, our relationships, we start questioning them. This is all so that we do not go too far in the wrong direction in life. But again, back to this Mercury conjunction to Chiron in Aries. This transit is pushing you to reflect on, to think about your core wounding. And in particular, Chiron in Aries, we're dealing with wounding around your agency, around being in a body, around your goals, your motivations. It could be your sexuality, though, you know, Mercury is inherently platonic. But you may find yourself with this transit reflecting on what hurts, thinking about what hurts. This may be because you're in a reflective state of mind, and it may likely be because someone says something to you in such a way that it triggers or activates some core wounding. And this can happen in a deep way, but it can also happen in a not so deep way. You know, when somebody gives you side eye when you're feeling vulnerable, it can trigger all kinds of really intense thinking and feelings. But that doesn't mean that that person who gave you side eye was even thinking about you. We want to, during this transit, really be mindful of the difference between triggers and traumas. Somebody, you know, recently commented on a video I made a couple of years ago on my Patreon about trauma farming. And this is a thing that can really occur during a transit like this, where we feel so triggered that we start looking for evidence and proof that we are being traumatized. And that's an important thing to be mindful of, because it ends up having you unintentionally being the architect of your own misery, right? And it's really important to be able to sort through the feelings that this transit can kick up of being in crisis mode, of feeling like something is trying to control us, trying to harm us, trying to stop us, trying to make us go faster or farther than we're ready for, whatever the trigger is, so that you can use your self-awareness to be more protective of your vulnerable bits, protective of the things and people you care about. To, in other words, not act in defense of something that you actually don't need to defend, but instead to be clear about what's happening within you and what's happening around you in the here and now. And sometimes what's happening inside of us is that we are incredibly triggered and all of our alarm systems are going off. And that doesn't inherently mean we are in danger. It can mean we are in danger, but it doesn't inherently mean we are in danger. The truth is that anyone with a trauma history, and I feel like, is that not everyone? It's kind of traumatic to be a human on a planet in a body, I feel. But of course, some of us a lot more than others. All it takes is like the correctly placed trigger to make us feel like we are falling apart, like we are not safe. And then our survival mechanisms kick in, right? And while Chiron is not technically associated with survival mechanisms, that's more Pluto. Chiron is associated with healing and healing trauma. With Chiron in Aries, it is associated with feeling like you belong to yourself, to your body, to others. And I want to kind of set you up to be aware that you may be feeling super fucking defensive on and around the state. You may also be dealing with other people who are just feeling super defensive, right? The best thing that you can do is seek the truth. What is in alignment for you? What is true? Instead of go straight to defense, because unless you're really in danger, which, you know, if you are, of course, ignore this, but unless you're really in danger, you don't need to go straight to defense. Instead, if you can be curious, which Mercury governs curiosity, right? If you can be curious about what's happening within you, what's happening in the situation, what are your emotions telling you? What is your body telling you? Not just what is the other person doing or not doing to you, but how can you leverage your own self-awareness to grow your sense of agency, your relationship to agency? This is a beautiful yet challenging potential of a Mercury conjunction to Chiron. The point here is that your capacity for self-discovery and self-awareness is strengthened, but it is never given easily when it comes to Chiron. So you got to be willing to sit with those defensive feelings, your core wounding. All that shit is necessary in order to be able to make the most use of this transit. And we don't want to forget that because it's a Mercury retrograde transit, the way you talk to yourself, the way you talk to other people, right? The language you use and the tone you use are really important your ability and willingness to listen to yourself and to others is part of this transit because it's Mercury, right? Whether you need to learn or unlearn, or if you're like most of us, you need to learn and unlearn, this transit is going to do its job by triggering you so that you can evolve and grow. But again, it's a pain in the ass. If you want to know what part of your nature is getting triggered, you want to look to where about 20 degrees of Aries falls in your birth chart. And that'll give you a sense of what it is that is likely to be coming up. And if you don't have the astrology chops to be able to do that, then don't worry about it. You can just apply this information generally. But, you know, we're going to be feeling the effects of this transit, you know, not as strong as on the state as it's exact, but for a while, because Mercury is going to retrograde and then come back over the point. So don't shy away from whatever it is that comes up on and around the state. Stay with it if you can. And if you can't, stay with the resistance, you know, bring as much awareness as you can to whatever coping mechanisms get engaged by your defenses. Okay, I know, easier said than done, but that's the assignment. Now, that brings us to Friday the 19th, when we have our next exact transit. But we don't have one exact transit. My friends, we have four exact transits on this day. Mercury retrograde forms an exact conjunction to Venus at 1:59 a.m. Pacific time. That's happening at 17 degrees and 33 minutes because, you know, Mercury retrograde moving backwards. At exactly 7 a.m. Pacific time, the sun moves into Taurus. It's Taurus season. You're welcome. At 8:28 a.m. Pacific time, Mars forms an exact sextile to Jupiter, and that's happening at 21 degrees and 30 minutes exactly. That's Mars at 21 degrees and 30 minutes of Pisces and Jupiter at the same degrees of Taurus. And Mars is forming an exact sextile to Uranus exact at 4:56 p.m. Pacific time. That's at 21 degrees and 46 minutes with Mars in Pisces and Uranus in Taurus. That's a big list. If you can't keep track, if you're like, wait a minute, wait, what? Then I will remind you of two very important things that I offer. One is a free transcription of this episode that is created by a lovely human and dropped on my website within usually about 24 hours of the episode coming out. So you can always refer back to the text, okay? Now, the other thing is I use this very simple and very useful pro tool called Astrology for Days, and you can too. It's at astrologyfordays.com. It is, you know, it's like a website. You subscribe to it and it tracks the transits. It tells you exactly when they're happening. So you don't have to be tracking it just through what I say. You can use the tool I use. You know what I'm saying? It's at, like I said, astrologyfordays.com. Okay. Now, that's a lot of transits. So let me tell you what they mean. The first transit is a Mercury retrograde conjunction to Venus. Now, it's not exactly conjunct Chiron, but you know what? It's real close. So it takes this typically very like light, chill transit, which I know the internet sometimes makes a big deal of this transit. I personally have never found it to be particularly anything unless it's doing something kind of special to your birth chart. But Mercury conjunction to Venus is a time where socializing, there's flow, there's dynamicism. If you, have the opportunity to go on a first friend date or a romantic date, if you basically need to meet with or connect to a human person, or if you're more like me, pigs and ponies and cats, then it's just great. You're going to get along well. There's going to be a nice rapport because it's in Aries. The tempo may be a little fast because it's close to Chiron. It may be a little triggering. But regardless, it is a lovely transit that wants us to be connecting to each other. Another thing that's really lovely about this transit is it can help you in your creative projects, right? Because Venus is the arts and creation, and Mercury is your mind, and Mercury retrograde, right? Mercury retrograde, it empowers us to reflect in a meaningful way. So there's a great value in returning to old creative projects and reflecting on your creative process. It's not as much of a time for starting a new project because Mercury is retrograde, not because of the transit itself, but it is a great time for returning to old projects, things you've already started. So it could be like, you know, a month old, but things you've already started. And you might find that there's like a lot of juice behind it. So that's really exciting. The other transit that I'll tell you about that is happening on this date is that Mars sextile to Jupiter. Now, Mars sextile to Jupiter is a transit that I personally love. Now, I want to just like pull back to say, you may notice that Mars is forming a sextile to Jupiter and Uranus, both. The much anticipated transit of Jupiter conjunction to Uranus is exact the following day, on the 20th. So this sextile is really helpful and important to that much bigger transit that I'm going to tell you about. But keep this in mind, that this is connected to a much bigger impact of a transit of Jupiter conjunction to Uranus. Whenever we have outer planets forming transits to each other, it tends to be a big deal. And whenever we have conjunctions between outer planets, we have the start of usually a long-term cycle. Again, I'll get there in a minute. But we'll stick for a minute with that Mars sextile to Jupiter. This transit is so great for resiliency, for strength, for vitality, for a sense of courageousness and motivation. It helps to make you feel like, oh yeah, I can fucking do this. I can handle this. And it's particularly helpful for spiritual, psychological, emotional development because Mars is in Pisces and Jupiter is in Taurus. So you can tap into your values. You can tap into the things that really matter to you and explore them in ways that help you to become more whole, more present, more dynamic, more here. This is a great time for sex. Mars sextile to Jupiter is fun. And because Mars is also sextile to Uranus, it's weird. You know, and it's good to be willing to get weird, at least now and again. So Mars sextile to Jupiter, great for that. This is an excellent transit, generally speaking, to get shit done, to move things forward, to strengthen, embolden, and explore. If you're like a sporty person, this is a great time for sports and, you know, any kind of like athletic stuff, because Mars is the body and Jupiter is growth and expansion. And a sextile is this dynamic spark of energy. So we have the ability to like be in our bodies in a way that is fun and that is good for us when this transit occurs. Again, of course, especially if it is hitting your birth chart directly. And I will repeat, Mars is at 21 degrees and 30 minutes of Pisces. And Jupiter is at the same degrees of Taurus. So if you have anything in your chart in a mutable sign, which would be Pisces, Virgo, Gemini, Sag, or a fixed sign, which would be Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius, then you're really going to feel it. But also, if you have anything at around 21, 22 degrees of a water sign or an earth sign, you're really going to feel it. So a lot of people may be really influenced by this transit. So there's one thing that can kind of suck about this transit and one thing I want to warn you about. The thing that can kind of suck is that this transit is good for war. It's good for the business of war. It's good for advancing militaristic aims. Fucking Mars, right? And so that's not good. We have a lot of very violent wars occurring on this planet at this time. And a lot of them are like physically violent, right? That bang, bang, punch, punch, kick, kick, kind of violence of Mars. But there's also, you know, the violence of patriarchy, which is not always physically violent. It can occur on another level. And Mars sextile to Jupiter is a great time for people with violent objectives to advance their aim. So that sucks. That sucks. I don't have a fix for you, but this is the astrology and I am here to report it. Now, the other thing I'm going to warn you about is that because this transit makes you feel like you got a lot of pep in your step, like you can make shit happen, like you can put yourself out there, like you can handle a thing, you may overcommit yourself, especially if that's kind of your nature. You know, you may promise to do something later that you feel like, fuck yeah, I'll take on the challenge today. And then when the transit passes, you're more like, oh God, what did I do? So if you have the opportunity to do something down the road that will require that you feel incredibly resilient and strong, I'm not saying don't do it. Hey man, do it. You know, if you want to do it, absolutely do it. But keep in mind that this transit gives you spoons and you may have a little less later. You know, it all depends. It all depends. Because of the larger context of what's happening astrologically, I don't want to dissuade you from taking risks. I really, really don't. And also, I'm aware that this Chiron activation, the solar eclipse activation that we are dealing with, may incline us to do things sometimes that feel like acts of bravery when really they're a little self-sabotage-y. And how to tell the difference? Just sit with your motivations. Taking risks and failing is fine. I feel like that doesn't get said enough. Failing is not bad. I mean, it doesn't feel good, obviously, but if you learn from a thing, then it's not a real failure, right? I don't enjoy failing, obviously, but everything that I have failed at, I can look back at and be like, oh yeah, I get why. I get what happened there. And if I don't get what happened there, I tend to, you know, repeat the mistake. And that is life, my friends. So take chances. Just don't do it out of a sense of egoism or defensiveness. That film around your detergent pods is plastic, and it's ending up in our oceans, rivers, and soil. And did you also know that you're eating and drinking roughly a credit card's worth of plastic per week? Blue Land has set out to do something about this. Eliminate the need for single-use plastic in products that we reach for most. Blue Land uses no single-use plastic in any component, from bottles, tablets, wrappers, to shipping. Their tablet packaging is fully compostable. I've been using their dishwasher tablets, and I absolutely love them. They come with a cute, reusable, and refillable tin, and they leave my dishes spotless. They offer lots of different cleaning products, and you can get even more savings by buying refills in bulk or setting up a subscription. Blue Land has a special offer for my listeners. Right now, you get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/lenyado. You don't want to miss this. It's blueland.com/lenyado for 15% off. blueland.com/lenyado for 15% off. Green Chef meal kits deliver quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a clean routine. When I have meetings and readings back to back, it's great for me to have easy to prepare meals on hand that I know will be both nutritious and sustainable. Find recipes to every lifestyle, including Mediterranean, plant-based, gluten-free, protein-packed, and gut health. Savor Green Chef's seasonally inspired recipes where they celebrate the peak ingredients, flavors, and freshness of each season. Go to greenchef.com/lenyado50 and use code lenyado50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Once again, that's code lenyado50 at greenchef.com/lenyado50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. If you know me, you know I love clothes and I hate being uncomfortable. Jenni Kayne believes in the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate a wardrobe that never goes out of style. I am obsessed with natural fibers, and Jenni Kayne clothes never miss. I cannot get enough of my white cashmere cardigan. I get tons of compliments on it whenever I wear it, but more than anything, it feels so luxurious while also being a simple and cozy item that I never want to take off. And for a limited time, Ghost listeners get 15% off your first order. Go to JenniKayne.com and use code GHOST15 to get 15% off. From gorgeous sweaters to iconic accessories, elevated basics, and home essentials, Jenni Kayne is here to help you live your best year yet. Find your new uniform at JenniKayne.com. My listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code GHOST15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JenniKayne.com. Promo code GHOST15. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. And that brings us to the Mars sextile to Uranus, happening at just about the same degrees and at 4:56 p.m. Pacific time. So not dissimilar from the Mars sextile to Jupiter, this transit is dynamic. It makes you feel excited and like you can do it, right? So this is very good. It increases a sense of resiliency and a willingness to take risks. This is also a transit, as I mentioned, that can stir up your sex drive, give you kind of chemistry with other people. Now, generally speaking, when it comes to Uranus, we don't expect anything to be permanent. So, you know, be in the moment, have fun, and of course, in safe ways, but we don't expect to make things permanent during this transit. That's just not super realistic. Mars sextile to Jupiter can make you feel impulsive in a way that, again, is enjoyable and exciting and empowers you to experiment, to try new things. And this can happen on a lot of different levels, but whatever level that it's happening on for you, I want to just ground you into this. This transit occurs so that we feel more motivated and even entitled to explore and experiment with what works, with what can work. And because of the astrology of this moment, it would be honestly kind of easy for us to get kind of locked up in a state of defensiveness where you feel like you're having to defend yourself against something or someone. And listen, maybe shit is going to go down. And if shit goes down, then you have to defend yourself. And this transit's really helpful for that. But if you are in an activated state from that Mercury Chiron conjunction and basically shadow boxing, then you end up losing energy instead of generating it in your life and inside of yourself. These are just things to be mindful of during this transit. The overlap of Mars sextile to Jupiter and Uranus, it's exciting, it's dynamic, and again, if it hits your birth chart, you're going to benefit the most from it. But that brings us, my friends, to the big news, not just of this week, but honestly, of this year. We have a very important exact transit on the 20th at 7:27 p.m. Pacific time. So depending on where you are, it might be happening on the 21st. But Pacific time on Saturday the 20th, Jupiter and Uranus meet. And they meet in the zodiac sign of Taurus. This transit of Jupiter and Uranus conjoining happens every approximately 14 years. The last time this happened was in 2010, but it wasn't in Taurus back then. The last time Jupiter and Uranus met in the zodiac sign of Taurus was in 1941, and that was during World War II. This transit is an invitation to make use of opportunity, to generate opportunity in whatever it is that is important to you, that is activated in your life at this time. When Jupiter and Uranus meet, we can expect the unexpected. And specifically with the zodiac sign of Taurus, it influences our relationships, you know, our personal relationships, our values, the economy and finances, the rights of women. And of course, whenever we're talking about women's rights, we are also talking about trans and non-binary rights. We're also dealing with the arts, you know, when we're dealing with Taurus. So there's a lot of things I want to say about this transit, but I do want to start in kind of a heavy place, which is to say, okay, so the last time Uranus was in Taurus was, again, World War II. And it was a time when we saw the rise of strongmen, aka fascistic leaders, across the world, right? So not everywhere in the world, but all over the world. And I think it's a safe thing to say that that's happening again now. And when this happens, what always happens is those strongmen leaders scapegoat a vulnerable or marginalized population, say those people don't matter. We don't care about those people at all. Those people are dangerous. They're weak. There's something's wrong with them. And we're going to make ourselves more important. Safe to say, that's happening again. That's happening again. This transit of Jupiter and Uranus meeting up is important. It is a really important transit because it marks the beginning of a 14-year cycle of development around our freedoms and liberties, also around our economy and the rights of women. But in the historical context of this happening in Taurus, we can expect really important developments between individual strongmen leaders, aka, you know, certain nations and other nations. So maybe strongmen leaders and other leaders of nations that are not necessarily fascistic in their leanings. We are going to see some important shifting of alliances during this transit. And we already have been. We already have been. Because this transit has been building up for, you know, I think it's safe to say about a month. And we're going to be experiencing the effects of this transit. I mean, it's the start of a 14-year cycle, so we'll be experiencing it for a while. But in particular, through around mid-May. So we want to pay close attention to what's happening globally the shift of alliances between nations. We also want to remember this really important question of who do we value and how do we express that value? How do we finance those priorities? This has to do with diplomacy and war. And when it comes to Jupiter and Uranus, we are dealing with inherently unpredictable and revolutionary energies, for better and for worse. Because when it comes to revolution, the question is, whose fucking revolution are we talking about? When we talk about things being shaken up, I mean, this is an inherently fertile transit, right? Things change so that something new, more authentic, and more aligned can emerge. This is fucking gorgeous. But again, it depends on whose version. This transit of Uranus and Jupiter conjoined is metaphorically an earthquake. On my Patreon, I was talking with somebody about, you know, why aren't we putting more energy into predicting earthquakes during this period? And, you know, it is an earthquake-oriented transit, and we've already seen some surprising and meaningful earthquakes in the period of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. The tricky thing about predicting weather, especially in a human-made climate crisis, is, you know, how do we pinpoint where things are going to happen? There are scientists who are bad at predicting weather, and I think, you know, it's tricky to do with astrology as well. However, it is worth noting, you know, Uranus and Jupiter meeting up in Taurus, a zodiac sign associated with land, farming, real estate, it would provoke earthquakes. Though, yeah, again, this is a metaphor that may bear out in a physical way. So we can expect progressive developments during this transit. We should expect progressive developments during this transit. But again, whose version of progress are we talking about? These transits require our active engagement. And there are other transits happening in the background, like Saturn and Neptune and Pisces, that are so demoralizing, so exhausting. Plus, all the shit we're going through, it's activating, it's triggering. And if you're somebody who's already, you know, has like nervous system or adrenal exhaustion, if you're already dealing with major stuff in your own personal life, in your own health, then it's really hard to stay engaged. But this transit wants us to be engaged. Because when people come together to radically, meaningfully advocate for each other, things change, period. They change. And there's always going to be people doing that. But again, who are the people and what versions of change are they seeking? This transit is in exactitude in a moment where a lot of people are in their fear, right? They're in a state of defensiveness. And that's not great. It's not great, especially in the context of looking at this transit in regards to social and political events. I'm talking about war. I'm talking about violence against people. Now, I pulled up an event chart for the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, because of course I did. I want to point to something that I think is really important. At the moment of exactitude here, what we have is a Neptune-Moon opposition. And this Neptune-Moon opposition is really tight in anaretic degrees of Neptune, almost 29 degrees of Pisces, and the Moon in late degrees of Virgo. I want to acknowledge that this transit can lend itself to greater religious extremism. Honestly, wherever Jupiter is, we want to consider religion. And we have kind of fringe groups gaining in power or getting louder or, you know, having their revolution be heard, as signified by the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And when we have the Neptune-Moon opposition, we have further indications of the risk of religious extremism. And religious extremism can look like, you know, evangelicals trying to bring about the end times to have Jesus come back. And so, you know, they want war in Israel. And that is a very real thing that is happening. Another way of understanding this is looking at the New Age and wellness communities, because there are very real New Age woo to white supremacist pipeline ideologies, right? And it starts off with like astrology and psychic stuff, and then becomes conspiracy theories, and then becomes more and more isolative. And before you know it, you're kind of consuming content online and resonating with things that are inherently puritanical, white supremacist, and very fucking dangerous. There are forms of religious extremism. There are forms of spiritual extremism that would surprise you, that you might not be thinking about. But this transit, I imagine, is going to really spark all of that. And again, that might mean something in particular is, you know, happens this week or on this day. It's certainly been cooking, but it's also, again, the start of a 14-year cycle of development. And so this could go a lot of different ways. This transit, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, as I mentioned in my year ahead forecast, is directly related to the United States elections. And we can expect that the changes and provocations that we are experiencing now in April through mid-May will meaningfully shape what happens in the election, which unfortunately will be happening when Pluto spends its last final moments in the zodiac sign of Capricorn. So we really risk sliding into an incredibly restrictive and conservative time in this nation. And when I say time in this nation, I mean, it's going to last a very long time. And so the more we can be engaged in people-led movements that are not about scapegoating any one group of people, the better, right? The better. But on a more personal level, the Jupiter conjunction to Uranus is exceptionally important. It's a time where what you value and what you deem to be important goes through a doorway of sorts, where you are able to be intentional about where you lay your priorities. You may make some meaningful changes, and they might happen on a kind of a psychological level or a behavioral level. This transit can mark, especially if it's hitting something important in your chart. And again, this is happening at almost 22 degrees of Taurus. So if you have anything at 22 degrees of a water sign or an earth sign, it's going to be really supportive. If it's in a fixed sign, so that's Taurus, Scorpio, Aquarius, and Leo, then it's going to be a little bit more like a kick in the hiney. But, you know, this transit is really provocative, and it can coincide with meaningful, kind of quick and inspiring change. And that change can be rebellious, or it can be innovative and experimentative. Jupiter conjunction to Uranus can be associated with a breakthrough. Now, again, it can happen on a social level, but focusing on a personal level. And that breakthrough can help you to meaningfully shift where you go in your life, what you value and prioritize, and how. So be open to opportunities that seem to come out of left field or out of the blue. They may just help you to step into a new phase of your life or a new phase of your development. This transit inspires us to want to have more autonomy, to be more free, to leverage our agency in a way that feels creative and good. You may find yourself, you know, really focused on Taurian themes, which are, of course, around money and personal security, relationships, art and creativity, like making shit, you know, being around beautiful stuff, that kind of stuff. The key is to be open. That's really what this transit wants from you. It wants you to be open so that you can grow into the person that you want to be and behave in ways that are better aligned with who and what you actually are. Jupiter conjunction to Uranus is going to change things. That's why it happens. And again, you may want to reflect back on the last time Jupiter and Uranus met up. The last time this transit occurred started June 8th of 2010, and it was totally over by January 4th of 2011. So if you want to go back and look at what was happening in your life, you know, it was happening at different degrees, it was happening in a different sign, but it is certainly worth checking out. Now, if you wanted to do a little more historical work to understand what was happening the last time Jupiter and Uranus met up in the zodiac sign of Taurus, we would look at May 7th, 1941. You can use all this information to heavily nerd out astrologically. The one thing I don't want to encourage you to do is to get so in your head that you stop being present and able to actively participate in the here and now with what this transit is trying to provoke in you and in the world. So be open to expanding your boundaries to be more inclusive of what they need to be inclusive of. Take risks, explore what's possible so that you can love and live more boldly and freely. That's what this transit is helping us to achieve. One last thing I'm going to say about this is I would be remiss if I didn't mention technology and AI, because we're dealing with Uranus. And as the very quickly evolving role of AI in our societies, takes hold. I can't help but expect to see something important get seeded, you know, something get planted, something start on and around this time. And with that comes the question any ethical person would want to ask, which is this technology helping to bring more value to our humanity or less? But of course, there are going to be those who only ask, is this technology going to make me more money or less? And so again, we have a bit of the rub of the zodiac sign of Taurus, right? We have Taurus is very much about values, but it's also about personal finances and personal securities. So as technology evolves really quickly, if our relationship to capitalism and to, again, regarding and prioritizing the value in people and the natural resource of this planet, if these things don't evolve with it, then we just have another destructive technology, you know, being used in another set of destructive ways. It's going to take innovators, creatives, thinkers to help us to shape and reshape and then shape and reshape again society in a way that works for us. So my hope for you is that, you know, in this period and moving forward, you find inspiration for ways of thinking about the world and engaging with the world as it quickly changes all around us. Because security doesn't happen by digging in your heels. We create security for ourselves and others by adapting to our ever-shifting realities. And the astrology of this week is certainly pushing us in that direction in a pretty dramatic way. Now, if I'm honest, I don't even know how to end this episode because Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is, it feels like, you know, standing at the edge of a cliff. It's exciting, it's dynamic, and there's so much more to say. There's so much potential and there's so much possibility. So my hope is to leave you with that feeling of possibility and a curiosity about what is possible, what of the countless, endless possibilities that are out there in the world and teeming within you, will you center and prioritize this week and beyond? These are questions that only you can answer for yourself. And my dearest hope is that you are bold enough to ask them and interested enough to explore possibility. Now, I'm going to run through the transits briefly one more time because I know this was a lot this week. On the 15th, we have a Mercury retrograde conjunction to Chiron in Aries. On the 19th, Mercury retrograde conjoins Venus in Aries. The Sun moves into Taurus. Mars in Pisces forms an exact sextile to Jupiter and to Uranus. And then on the 20th, we have the much anticipated Jupiter conjunction to Uranus, which we will feel its effects of this transit integrating through mid-May. And that, my friends, is your horoscope for the week. I thank you so much for joining me. If you get value from this podcast, please consider hitting that subscribe button or giving a 5-star review. Above all else, take good care of yourself and others. And I will talk to you in just a couple of days. Bye-bye. Every year they say the end is near.